All right, good morning. For today's episode of Bits of Nature Earth, we are on top of the tower at Lotus Lake Park, and this structure is wooden piers, some of them quite tall, probably 50 feet tall, but there's three or four levels. It's a wooden metal structure, so you might hear some squeaking because just the wind blowing up here makes it move back and forth. I'm looking out over the Hillsborough River here at Lotus Lake Park, and it's quite a sight. The trees are mostly cypress trees that I can see along the shoreline. You can see the cypress knees that we talked about in an earlier episode on another visit here. But the really striking thing here today is that there are hundreds of turkey vultures. So these are black birds, kind of silvery looking feathers when from the bottom, but the tops are black, and they are roosting in the cypress trees. And so there's Spanish moss, which is a kind of gray, fibery plant that hangs and grows on limbs of trees in Florida. And cypress trees must be a great habitat because it's very thick with these plants. And spotted throughout all that across the river are these big birds. And just a moment ago, about 100 of them flew out of one tree. They must have got spooked by something. They're generally sunning themselves or just hanging on because it's very cold here today. It's in the upper 40s, which is cold for Florida. I've watched them over a period of weeks here, the turkey vultures, and every so often you'll see a group of them soaring. I can see one kind of in the distance, and they're riding on thermals. So it's bright sun here, even though it's cold and there's a wind blowing. These birds will wait until they're off thermal heating, and then they'll ride these thermals up. Yeah, it's interesting to see these turkey vultures in their natural habitat on this episode, because the last episode we were at the Seaside Seabird Sanctuary across the bay, and there were some injured, you know, permanent residents there, birds of all kinds, but there were some turkey vultures. And it's, you know, to see them able to soar freely in the sky and these huge clouds of birds, you know, it's just amazing. They barely flap their wings. You know, they glide, you know, all day looking for some dead animal or something to swoop down on. It's interesting to live in Florida because you know, you're in a regular neighborhood, and sometimes you're driving and suddenly there'll be like five or six of these big birds hopping around on the side of the road, and there's maybe a dead squirrel or something that's been hit by a car. And they definitely spot this stuff from high up in the sky. But I find this tower here at Lotus Lake to be a very healing place. I've met lots of random people just that come up to the tower. People from all over the world visit here to see this site here when they come to Florida. They want to see alligators and different things. And you definitely can see that here at Lotus Lake Park. I don't know if people come to see the turkey vultures specifically, but it is pretty amazing. There are, I don't know how many birds would be across the river here, but there are hundreds and hundreds of them at this time of year roosting. I'm looking up in the sky. It's very, very pure blue sky because it's so cold, no clouds, and you just see these silent birds just gliding and gliding. When I came up to the tower, there was actually one sitting right on the top, kind of the pergola type top to the structure. And when it saw me come up the stair, I was a little startled, and it was a little startled, and it took off. But again, it's nice to see the natural habitat here that's been preserved. We'll talk a little bit more about the river. I've moved down probably a few hundred yards away from the tower. I'm on the boardwalk here, and just describing what this is like for those who haven't been here. These boardwalks are quite a feat of engineering, because again, they have these pilings that are about maybe a foot and a half across diameter, driven down into the swampy ground. We're definitely over water. I've been here many times when it's been dry, and the what is water now would be just like a little prairie, so to speak, with grasses and things growing. But right now it's an aquatic habitat. The water surface is covered in duckweed, which is an interesting little plant. They're like little miniature lily pads. So maybe something, a little dot of green, multiply that by millions. This plant, I've read that I think it can double its size, or they can reproduce and double its mass in like 24 hours. So I've actually did an experiment one time and grew some in a fish pond that I have in my backyard. And it definitely does grow fast, but fish eat it. It's obviously gives cover to the little fishes and things that are there that spawn in these more protected waters. There's trees everywhere. Most of them are cypress trees, but there's also oak trees and different types of bushes and things growing up out of the water. And on the side that's more towards the open water, there's water hyacinths. Or actually, I don't know if there are water hyacinths up here. That's, plants that float on the surface. But there are cypress trees with literally, I'm looking at a few cypress trees with maybe 50 to 100 cypress knees growing up in clusters. I'm at a spot in the boardwalk here where the sun is beaming down through the tree canopy, and I can look down to the bottom of the river here on this section. Now, when you look at the river, the Hillsborough River, it looks brownish, dark colored. But that's not because it's dirty, it's because it has tannic acid from the leaves. These oak leaves are like tea bags falling in and turning the water kind of a darker color. So the water quality up here, I think, is really pretty good. This part of the river is above the, there's a dam further down the river. Halfway to downtown, so there's no manatees or anything that can swim up to this area right now. I'm sure back in ancient times there were manatees that could swim this far up, but there's been a dam on there for quite some time, and the drinking water for Tampa, actually, a lot of it comes from the Hillsborough River, so it's good that there are so many protected areas above the dam, like this part of Tampa and Hillsborough County, where the parks are basically protecting our drinking water for us. But I'm looking down into the river, and I can see in the bottom it's a thick mass of leaves, oak leaves, and other types of leaves down there. And I can see all sorts of little minnow-type fish, and don't know if they're minnows or baby fish of different species, but you can see where the leaf canopy just continuously falls down here and creates kind of a soil or that must build up. It must be very, very thick here. My understanding is that the Hillsborough River is at least 12,000 years old. And back in that time frame, there were definitely mammoths and other prehistoric large animals that lived here. We're probably all eaten up by humans as humans moved into this hemisphere. There are also tribes of people that lived here over thousands of year period. There are definitely artifacts and things here. There's a little museum that shows some of it here. Yeah, there are lots of arrowheads and different little shell and stone tools and things that have been found here. There's an example in the little nature museum here I think it's at least 1,000-year-old dugout canoe, remnants of one. So there were a lot of peoples that lived here over a long period of time. This must have been a great place to fish and hunt. There's so many animals now, but back in that day, before all buildings and roads and things were put in, there must have been a fabulous amount of things to gather and hunt here. I was actually privileged to find a scraper tool one time. We were here, this is probably 15 or more years ago, and we were here with one of our kids listening to a nature talk by a park ranger, and she showed us all of these various examples of these arrowheads and tools and things that they had found. And we went for a walk with the ranger, and I literally walked out. And within 2 minutes, I looked down, and there was something that looked like a scraper. So I picked it up and handed it to her, and she said that would get sent to Tallahassee. But I think it's really cool that, there's still human activity here, but it's still natural. We're part of nature one way or the other, but it's nice that we were able to preserve most of a habitat. Now there's been logging here 150 years ago, probably, and all of the giant ancient trees were cut for lumber to build houses and things. But there's still some, there were still some trees that they didn't bother cutting because they were hollow. And so there are some examples, a few examples of really, really big cypress trees that are still alive. The forest then is regenerated here with all sorts of cypress trees and other things in the various habitats here at Lettuce Lake Park. But the thing is, we just have to relearn to be part of a sustainable natural cycle. Obviously, we've altered the environment with all of our activity. I can only imagine that there are microplastics floating around down there in the water, the fiber of the plants, and even the animals and fish, birds. But we have a choice to make in this world to learn to exist for thousands of years into the future, or we will not exist, because we will basically destroy our habitat. This piece of nature here would have been running all the way down this river, all the way to the bay, before before modern activity started hundreds of years ago. And you know, it's good that there's some areas preserved, but then you think about all the stretches of the river that are surrounded on all sides by houses and apartments and condos and businesses, and the runoff from the highways and roads and all of that. It's staggering how much we have changed our environment that we're in. So that environment will change us, for better or for worse for us. So we do need to take a breath and make some decisions as a species. I'm hopeful that we can learn things a new way. Even with our technology, there's technology that can help us create energy and materials and things that will be in harmony with this planet of ours. But it's going to take a lot of very focused energy. And I personally feel that we have a spiritual responsibility to preserve the spirit of this earth here that we're on. And we have a responsibility to help these life forms around us. They're helping us, and we need to be helping them. I have had some experiences here where I've walked between these trees, this forest, and you can't see it, but you can feel like there is a biogenic field, or maybe it's the oxygen that they're breathing out and they're breathing in our carbon dioxide that we're breathing out. But every piece of this place is alive, and it doesn't move quickly. You know, sometimes you look at it, seems static, but it is moving and alive all around us. And I believe that it has a healing power with us. But I think what we have to do is have a mentality and a spiritual mentality to heal it as well as receive healing from it. Just watched another leaf fall into the surface of the river, and then someday it will sink down to the bottom and join the others. And how many millions of leaves will fall over top of it over time. But it's all part of a continuum, just like this river is a continuum. It's not one river. There's not one specific drop of water. Yes, the drops all add up. All of the molecules of water add up to the river, and the river flows with the rains and then the droughts and the leaves and the fish and the birds flying overhead and the trees and the plants growing. It's a beautiful endless cycle here of life flowing. And we're a part of this flowing energy and life that's flowing across time. And hopefully you get to experience some of this in person. If not here in Lettuce Lake Park in Florida, then you can go even to the smallest little place around you, and you'll see the same web of life, literally. We're all interwoven and connected on this planet, and I wish you peace today.